Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I am Matthew, and welcome to another exciting episode of Pappy's Flatshare Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. And this one features the wonderful Ed Jones. He's absolutely great.
Ed Jones, one of the stars of Crybabies, one of the best sketch teams around at the moment. Saw them in Edinburgh last year. They're fantastic. He did an appearance in King Rodolfo, Kieran Dowd Show. And he's fantastic.
Nominated this this last Edinburgh Festival, best, is that right? Were they nominated for Best Newcomer?
The one before
there was that. Certainly, yeah. This is how out of the loop I am. I never leave Beckenham. He's very funny on Instagram, which is how I know him. And if you're not following him, he's definitely worth a follow. His videos are absolutely brilliant. Really, really funny. But yeah, Ed is our guest. So yeah, just very quickly, there are tickets available for the live stream. I guess, you know, like they'll just be available for forever because we can just sell as many as we like. So there are still tickets available for the live stream for the Christmas show.
For the show of the year.
The show of the year, exactly. Yeah, so the live show is happening on December the 11th. It's a Sunday afternoon. It starts at 5:30 with the Beef Brothers Cold Cuts with James Acaster. Then after that, we've got a Flatshare Slam Down with Lou Sanders and Athena Kablenyu. It's going to be really, really good fun. It's at 21 Soho, a new venue to us. We've not been there before, but they seem really lovely. And
yes.
I'm excited to do it. I'm really champing at the bit now. We've not written any of it, but you know, trust us, it'll be good.
There is a whiff of Advocar in the air.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, if you want to get yourself, I mean, because we had a lot of trouble buying it last year, I'd order in, I'd get on your Tesco delivery and order that Advocar in early doors to make sure you've got some to watch it while you're watching it at home.
Famously, there's a shortage of eggs in the country at the moment, so it could be problematic for
us. That's very true, actually. So, yeah.
We're rationing eggs.
I think.
So, Lord knows what's that going to do to the Advocar industry.
I think, in terms of like important uses of eggs, I would say Advocar is way down the list, right? I would say, you know,
any other month of the year, Matthew, I'd agree with you.
But not in December, of course.
But tis the season.
Tis the season.
In fact, if I found out that that's the reason why there's a shortage of eggs, I'd be absolutely delighted.
You'd be proud. You'd be proud of that, wouldn't you? Yeah.
And they'd be like, look, you only load one box of eggs per household because we're really cranking it up in the Advocar factory. I'd be like, too right.
Yeah.
Tis the bloody season.
We've got to have a proper Christmas this year, of course. So ticketx.co.uk is where to go to. There is a link in the show notes, or if you follow us on Twitter, at Pappy's Tweet, if you're still doing Twitter. I mean, we haven't done Mastodon yet. I mean, come on. We're too old for that kind of caper now. Find us on Twitter, find us on Instagram. There are links in our those bits of social media. And yeah, a link in the show notes. And if you are a member of the Patreon, patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare, then you can get a pound off each ticket for the live stream that you buy. Although, if you're a household, you really only need to buy one. You don't need to buy one for each person. Some people do. If they want to get, you know, if they're full of the Christmas spirit or they just don't particularly get on with their housemates, that's also fine. But yeah, one per household ought to do it. Oh, we should say as well, no Clarky for this episode, but don't worry. He is, he's doing very, very well. He just couldn't be asked. he just didn't. No, we should say, he just doesn't, he's got a real beef with Ed Jones. But listen, we didn't mention that in the body of the episode because we didn't want to upset Ed. But you could tell when Ed logged onto the Zoom, you could see a look of relief come over his face when he was like, "Yeah, oh, good."
Well, he feels threatened, doesn't he? New kid on the block, and he feels a bit threatened, and understandably so.
Right, let's crack on with the episode. This is Beef Brothers Cold Cuts with Ed Jones. Enjoy it.
Well, if you got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you got a problem, call it a beef. If you got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef Brothers sorting out your beef.
Cold Cuts.
Righty ho, let's get into this show. Let's stop fucking around.
Let's stop fucking around.
Ed, do you know why you're here?
This is you got 30 minutes.
Yeah, you wish, about 90 minutes.
You're not going to get out in 30, mate. You've got to cancel the rest of your evening plans. Basically, what we're here to do is, look, our listeners have got beefs. They've got problems with their flat share situations, with their living arrangements. We're here to help them sort them out. You up for that task?
Dream. Sounds good.
Yeah. What's your living arrangement? What's your kind of setup?
So I live above a chip shop. Everything in my life is going to plan.
Is that great or awful? Like, what are the pros or what are the cons of life above the chippy?
So when you first move in, you kind of get the Willy Wonka syndrome and you think, oh, this is it for the rest of my life. We're going to be best mates. I'm just going to have free sausage and chips every single day. And I'll be there scooping kebabs up into paper.
Don't fall into the deep fat fryer. Humpa, lumpa.
Open or wrapped?
Battered.
Am I saying that right? Open or wrapped? But yes, it quickly soured. I reckon I'll fill you in properly with when it gets to my beef territory, because there's a lot to unravel there.
Right, a lot to unpack out the newspaper.
I'd say that. So my problems would be, my cons to the, I guess would be the smell.
It's an issue.
It feels like the kind of smell that gets everywhere.
Yeah, it's quite an abrasive scent, yeah.
But the pro slash con obviously is I would not trust myself living.
You'd never cook a meal again, would you, Tom? You wouldn't cook another meal. You just every night would be fish and chips.
When I first moved to London, there was a fish and chip shop on the way from the tube to my house, and I would say it was 3 to 4 times a week.
Oi.
Problems.
Deep set problems.
Deep fried problems. And it'd never be intentional. It'd be like off to get back from work, out to gig, back on the tube. Oh, I haven't eaten and I've had 3 pints, chips.
Did they get to know you? Were you sort of familiar?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Problems.
I've got his name tattooed on my back.
Problems. You'd walk into the shop, they'd pop a Savoy in. into the microwave, not into me.
eventually into you, yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, would you mind? Would you mind feeding it to me?
Imagine, walk in and they just slip it straight into your gob.
Eyes closed.
Well, anywho, that's it's kind of, I lived in a pub for a couple of years after I left uni, and it was my best mate from school's pub, and it was very similar, that Willy Wonka syndrome of going like, this is amazing, and then like 4 months later when you kind of had pork scratchings every day.
And when you're mostly pork scratching at that point,
when you're
from
mostly
the waist up.
Then you realise you just want to go home. I want my mum. I don't like living in a pub anymore. Anyway, right. Well, yeah, that's it. And what about, who do you live with? Do you live on your own? Do you live with housemates?
I live with a significant other. Okay. It's just the two of us in our little chip haven that we've made for ourselves here.
And how are they in terms of like chip based restraint?
Oh, they're like, they're a saint. Yeah, it's my partner. She never. Yeah, well, she's probably got the biggest beef of them all with the guys downstairs. It's like a real on running soap opera that we've got going on. But yeah, it's like it's really all conquering. Like once you get the chippy waft, once it starts to come through, it gets into the walls, it gets into your clothes. It's deep
in your marrow, isn't it? Yeah. My brother for a short while worked at McDonald's, and the uniform, this is back when we were all living at home. My parents could never get his uniform clean. To the clean standard that my mother demanded.
like Lady Macbeth.
Yeah.
Out down Grease Spot.
Yeah.
Angry spot works better, yeah.
Thanks, mate. I'm up for out Big Mac.
We're workshopping here.
Out Big Mac.
Is this a large fries I see before me? We can keep working it through. We'll eventually, if anyone wants to suggest their own McDonald's Macbeth related, you know, it writes itself, really, doesn't it?
Brother sorting out your beef.
Shall we try and solve some other people's beefs?
Let's do it.
Let's start off.
We simply must.
In fact, let's start. Tom, do you want to read James's beef? Now, it's not just one; it's three beefs. So
it's a
lot
beef
to sink our. It's a triple beef here to sink our teeth into.
Wow. Okay. Here we go. Triple beef from James via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Get in touch and use email. It's a great, effective way to get in touch. Hello, podcast provider dears and esteemed guest. Me and my partner, brackets housemate, get on quite well. But there are a couple of small things she does that I find strange. And as long as Matthew doesn't blame it all on me and say I'm a bad person, I'm happy to share them with you.
Can I, by the way, this really, you know, like, I didn't realise I do this.
Yeah.
We've had a few messages in where they're like, listen, I send this in with some trepidation because what I feel is going to happen is that Matthew is going to read it and go, well, the problem's you, mate. The problem's you. So I take that as a written warning, right? I take that as a written warning. I've already had
we had a small intervention about a year ago, but it feels like it might have crept back in.
Yeah. Which episode was it? It was, who was it? Oh, it was Janine Haruni. Janine Haruni and I went in hard and a few people came up to me afterwards and said, that was too much.
Well, if you don't, who will?
Exactly.
If not now, when?
Somebody, you know, I practiced tough
love. Just Janine Haruni. If Janine goes, you've got to back her up, do you know what I mean? You can't leave the man out there on her own.
She's a tough New York broad, you know. You've got to, you know, you can't.
Janine, you're a tough New York broad, you understand?
Right, anyway, listen, so James, I take that on board.
Yeah.
I'm ready to be as nice as possible. Yeah. Okay, I really am.
I mean, weirdly, that beef that you got, it was about jaywalking on the sidewalk, I believe.
Too much pastrami.
Bang on the front of the taxi, the yellow taxi, and scream, I'm walking here. Problem solved. What's wrong with you?
I've heard an interview of Dustin Hoffman. Like, I know that was like, it was like famously unscripted, that line.
And it was a genuine
incident.
Yeah.
And he says what he was about to say was, we're filming here, but realised the cameras were still rolling. So at the last minute changed it to
I'm walking here.
Brain was going, we're filming here. And he just changed the words at the last minute and the energy was, I'm walking here, but he was about to say, I'm filming here.
That's happened in a few, because you know, we're going to need a bigger boat was improvised. Yeah. He actually said, we're going to need a bigger camera to film this massive fake
Amazing.
Shark.
Yeah.
But then the last second he was like, no, because they're filming me. I should say something that fits in with the reality of the film. Yeah.
Here's looking at you, kid, was originally, he's pointing a camera at you, kid, and saying action. And he just changed it at the last minute.
Right, you know that bit minute. There's that bit in Ocean's 11 where Brad Pitt turns to George Clooney and he says, you want to take down the Bellagio? And that was actually scripted. That was word for word what they'd written.
Yeah. But that's the thing about Pitt.
He's a real pro.
You give him a script, he learns it, he shows up on time, he says the words in a nice loud voice.
And that's why he earns what he does.
Exactly.
But weirdly, he didn't think he was being filmed.
Brad never knows. He doesn't know he's an actor.
he just thinks people feed him things to say and that's cool.
Yeah.
What a life.
No one's going to tell him. It'd be weird at this stage to tell him. Right. What's James got to say for himself, the wonderful man?
Well, he's got three things to unpack here.
Okay.
I'm interested to see what order he's unpacking them, whether he's saving the big one. Like if B3 is like, she cheats on me. or whether he's going to stick with the big one. Let's see. Beef one. When washing up, my girlfriend decides to put the knives point down into the wire drainer, which kind of blunts the knives a bit.
Yep.
She also complains that I look like a serial killer when I do decide to sharpen them. I have them pointed up to drain, but she thinks someone will injure themselves like this. Can you tell me who is right? Now, are we doing these as we go?
Let's take each one as they come. I think that's the best way to do it, right?
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Ed, where do you stand?
Well, do you want to hear something interesting?
Of course, man.
I go cutlery up. So your knives and your forks, they're raising the roof.
Yeah.
But the proper kitchen knives down for the very same concern. I don't want me or the significant other to end up, you know, with a kind of...
spearing yourself, yeah.
Yeah, Santa Claus in Hot Fuzz situation.
Yeah.
Okay, and now you're going to tell us the interesting thing, right?
Oh, dear. There's a real slam there, sorry.
Sorry. It's because I can't turn on James. I had to turn on Ed instead. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Ed. That was unfair.
I, too, normal cutlery pointed up, but I have a tray that goes... horizontally, so the kitchen knives I lie flat.
That's the solution.
Yeah, that's nice.
So
that's sharp, literally the middleman, isn't it?
The sharp knives get their own, but they're laid flat.
Yeah, they're not a blankety bed. Anyone. Yeah,
a blankety bed for your knives,
like the broad beans.
Ed, Crosby cooks broad beans in the dishwasher. We should tell you.
I cook all my food in the dishwasher.
Don't go round his house for dinner.
Have you seen that? It's a show on the Learning Channel about people who save money. Like, it's like people who save money to a freakish degree.
Yeah.
And one of the things is cooking a lasagna in the dishwasher. You put all your dishes in. I know it's genuinely, this is what they do. Because it gets to such a temperature, you can do it. So they get the lasagna, they make the lasagna in the sort of the Pyrex dish, and they wrap it really tightly with foil.
They wrap it in £70 worth of foil.
Yeah, this is the thing, they're wasting. I mean,
gold.
If you think they're not reusing the foil, you're a fool to yourself, Tom. They're reusing that foil. There was another bit where a guy reckons he can get like up to 20-ish uses out of a kitchen towel. So when he uses
a single sheet.
Single sheet. When he's got a kitchen, he's got like a washing line across his kitchen, which he will then hang up the used kitchen towels, let them dry out and use them again. Come on, man.
You gotta have some sex, man. You've got to do it. Everyone's doing it.
That's the most depressing thing I've ever heard in my life.
Also, this is another mad feature. The same guy, not the person who was cooking in the dishwasher. The same guy freezes his credit cards, like physically puts them in blocks of ice. So he puts them in water, puts them in the freezer. So when he has to use his credit card, he really has to really want to use his credit card. He has to put a hammer to the ice.
He's just got a problem.
He's got, I think, one problem. Yeah.
He's clearly got just did it once by accident and then was like, oh no, it's because when I need to use it, it's so I really know that I want to use it, obviously.
Exactly. So I think that what we try and do in our house, but we don't always do, is dry the sharp knives immediately and they go straight back in the block. That's the kind of house rule, but only for the sharp knives.
Freeze them.
Yeah. So I
really want to cut that.
Really
thing.
Want to use.
I really want to cut it.
If you can't use your teeth, you know, what's the point? I think your solution is a beautiful halfway house, Tom. Lie them straight. Yeah.
Lie them straight, damn straight. But ultimately, I know that, like, the party line is don't put them. I mean, like, that's what we've all been told, right? Don't put them down. But I don't really know why. It can't blunt them, can it?
I think it can probably bend the ends of them, right? If you really put them down hard, like slam them down
in between your fingers.
Yeah,
psycho them in.
But I think isn't a dishwasher supposed to blunt them as well? Right, dishwashers are supposed to blunt them.
The real answer is you shouldn't put your sharp knives in the dishwasher.
There's too much lasagna in there. That's not what he's not saying. Put them in the dishwasher. He's just saying put them in the draining. In the draining on the draining board, right? He's hand washing.
Oh
them.
Yeah.
Put them down. I think he's well within his rights to sharpen them. I think as weird as you look, you've got to do it. You get an extra 10 years out of a knife by sharpening them.
You just need to stop eyeballing her when you sharpen them.
Yeah, and you want to be looking at the knife just from a. I'm going to say it, guys. When you sharpen your knives, look at your knives. That's just the way I live my life.
You've always that's your catchphrase, isn't it? So it's not quite out, but it, you know.
No, it's getting there.
Out, damn grease spot. Are we still on that game? Still on that part of the game? I think absolutely. You're absolutely right, Tom. A compromise. So in which case, that's fine. Neither of them are right.
Yep.
You know, but we've got a solution for you, James. I hope you're happy with that one.
Yeah.
Let's do another beef two.
Beef two, she likes to vacuum.
Oh, yeah.
There's more. Beef 2, she likes to vacuum, which is very kind of her to do it all. But when she is done... Oh, fuck me. This is my wife's trick. Oh, God. When she is done, she will leave the vacuum in whatever room she was last in. We have a cupboard where the vacuum lives, and the lid is just laying on the floor or very badly wrapped around the vacuum, not on the specific lid wrapping part.
Yeah.
Eek.
Yeah. Right.
My wife has exactly the same policy, which is you get trapped because, A, she's vacuumed, so thank you so much for vacuuming. I don't seem ungrateful, but she has literally stopped vacuuming and walked away.
Floated like fucking, off into the sky.
Like Pachi, yeah, she's been sent up.
My unresolved business. Now.
So it's just like put down and walk off. And so you want to be like, you feel like a real dick for going like, I think, like, yeah, you've done that, but now do this.
Yeah.
It is infuriating.
Can I ask a question here? Why do you not, and this is to both you and to James, why do you not kind of reframe in your mind that this is a job share? She does the worst bit of it, which is the big bit of it, and you do the other bit of it. There are jobs in the house that only I do, right? There are jobs in the house that only my wife does. That's just the way it is. And I feel like there is a way around this where you go, oh, I'm the guy who puts away the vacuum cleaner. Because I very rarely
how
get
I live
it out.
My life, Matthew. That's exactly how I live my life. Yeah.
A mental job share.
The guy who puts the vacuum cleaner away. I've got one up on James because I've got a lid retracting button, which makes me nice. Like the fucking man. Do you know what I mean?
What are you working with, mate? What are you working with nowadays, vacuum wise?
It's a Dyson.
Nice.
Oh, aye.
And I'm loath to tell you more because I don't know. But it's one of those Dyson boys. It does the job.
Is it? And it's a plug. Of course, it's a plug-in because it's got a lead.
Yeah.
I hate to say it. I'm working wireless these days.
Are you? Because Clark, he's a big exponent of this. Is it one of those ones that sticks on the wall that's very trendy?
No, I didn't. I thought the kind of wall holster is maybe a bit too like gunslinging. I think I get a bit too much satisfaction from just like whapping it around my finger and then clanking it back onto the wall. No, it's just it folds down on itself like a kind of like a robot being decommissioned, and nice. It's great. And you hardly notice it. It's like it's not even there.
So it's like it does a bow to you after it's done its job.
Essentially, yes. Yeah, that's how I like to think.
is it a shark?
Namaste. It is a shark. It's a sweet shark. Yeah.
There you go. Clarky talks about a shark a lot as well. I think it's like almost like a cult. Like once you're in,
he's
you're
one
in.
Of us. Yeah.
And also, isn't Dyson a bit? Isn't Dyson a bit Brexity? Like, because I actually have a Dyson as well, and I remember talking to someone as I was on my way to buy a new Dyson to replace the Dyson. They're like, you can't buy a Dyson because of his stance on Brexit. And I just went and bought pretty much the exact same Hoover I had before because I know how to use
it. I
didn't Google what his stance on Brexit was, but I've
painted Union Jack on it. Come on.
You're not using an Airblade, are you? Because you want to remain.
Yeah.
You can't go round with, it would take a real Romaniac to go around with wet hands in the pub just because they're like, how many pints are slipping out of your grip?
In Wetherspoons. Exactly.
He said, what? Oh, no.
Oh, come on.
So what are we saying here? We're saying... We're saying
buy a shark. This podcast is sponsored by Shark Hoover.
Use code BIGGERBOAT for 2% off at checkout. I think what you said is a great idea. Split the load. Make it a team activity. People are always looking for like fun date nights. She does a bit of the vacuuming. You then put it away. It's an activity you can share together.
You're both invested in, exactly.
Yeah.
Because and again, I'm being very, I'm trying to be very judicious around this, but she likes to vacuum, which is very kind of her to do it all. I wonder if we spoke to James's partner, whether or not she'd say, I just love vacuuming. Or if she'd say, if I don't do it, no other fucker will, you know?
Yes.
I feel like if there is a job that you don't particularly like doing, that someone else is doing, and there's a little bit of extra cleanup at the end, just like the Dyson, just suck it up.
Very nice.
Thanks, mate.
Are we sponsored by Dyson now as well?
We're also sponsored by Dyson, is it really? Yeah.
Of all the weeks. Such conflicting.
Just like the Brexit vote result, suck it up. You lost, get over it, Dyson. Right, okay. Beef 3. My partner cheats on me all the time. Beef 3. Oh, here's something she doesn't like to do. She doesn't like to go to the end of the garden to hang washing out. Brackets, the garden is quite long.
Oh,
humble brag.
Good for you, mate.
Someone's doing pretty well. I have suggested I will bring the rotary line closer, but she doesn't like that idea. She then decides to hang the washing on various chairs or miscellaneous garden equipment that is nearer the back door. It then often falls on the floor, meaning she wants to rewash said item.
This is a tricky one here, isn't it?
Because so this is still outside. The sort of utensils she's using are still outside, but yeah. just not
she's
the
using garden
designated
chairs and miscellaneous garden equipment. A lawn, a mower?
You're not hanging. Surely.
Oh my gosh.
Surely you're not hanging your smalls on a hoe. That can't be happening, can it?
No, don't hang your smalls on a hoe.
Yeah, I reckon if you prop it up against the wall, the little kind of fingers coming out. A rake, if you get a rake.
A rake?
Yeah, I could picture that.
I could see.
Use it as coat hooks.
I think if you've got a trowel, maybe you could use that to keep the shape of your shoes if you've put your trainers in the wash after the
absolutely, 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 absolutely.
So we're putting the trowel in there. So some of it probably works really, really well. A rake could have eight socks on it, right?
Of course.
Beautiful. Well, one of those like horizontal rakes, but I'm thinking of one of those like, you know, those forked out buddies.
Yeah.
Like your wire spread ones.
Oh, yeah, that's what... Well, how many prongs has that got on it, do you reckon?
I was thinking about banging that into a T-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Waft it around a little bit.
Spread it around a little bit, yeah.
Keep the birds off your lawn.
Stick a sock on a swing ball and just whack it around a few times like a big outdoor salad spinner.
Air it out. This is working, yeah.
You're getting a workout. Guys, I'm coming round.
It's not a bad system.
Now I'm inclined to say, go and buy more garden equipment. and see what you come up with.
Get yourself down to the garden centre. And obviously what you don't want to start going, because when you go to the garden centre, the temptation is to get the water feature. You know, don't get anything that's going to dampen the clothes.
More wet at this point.
But absolutely get yourself, you know, you could get yourself a few stone cherubs that don't squirt water out of their genitals and just have a bit of fun with those. I think this is...
Good luck finding those. Those cherubs bloody love squirting water out of their genitals, let me tell you.
It's true. Born to do it, they're made to do it.
You give them half a chance and that's what they'll be doing. Is the other thing, this thing of going, I've suggested I bring the rotary line closer, but she doesn't like that idea. We should explore that, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
So shouldn't there be a why behind that? Because that's the answer. He's thought of the answer. She doesn't like that idea. I guess it'd ruin the garden being closer to the house. They're not particularly attractive items, are they?
Yeah, that's true.
Bit of an eyesore.
Yeah.
So is that the problem? Is it
could you jazz up the rotary line? Could you do a paint job on it, make it look like a fucking tree or some shit?
go au naturel on it. Yeah, as if it's just part of the scenery, yeah.
Arty it up a little bit.
Just an absolutely needlessly aggressive description of jazzing up a rotary line. I would love to see you. I'd love to see you on Ground Force. I don't know, some fucking... we'll stick some fucking crazy paving over in that fucking corner over there. Just
like... We're on a deadline, man. The real pressure would kick in. My shit.
The way I think here is we dig all this bit up, we put vegetable beds there and some cunting decking over in that side. But I mean, I don't know.
I like what we've come up with there, which is by go big on the garden equipment and let her create.
When does a garden then become a grotto? You know, like...
Yeah, that's true.
When Santa's
situation
in it?
Well, my uncle had a grotto in his garden that was like... It wasn't just...
that sounds like a lie that a primary school kid would say.
Yeah.
My uncle's got a grotto.
Yeah, but it wasn't a grotto. It wasn't like Santa's grotto. It didn't have like a little shed and like sort of fake snow and elves running around. It was like he would have he would go to the seaside and get shells and like push them into concrete and like make little kind of like what do you call it? Like a mosaic out of shells.
Yeah, yeah.
So he had that was his kind of grotto, but it also had loads of like stone figurines and stuff. It would have been a perfect place to, if you've done a big wash, it would be a perfect place to dry out your clothes.
Did he set out to make a grotto, or did he kind of start making something and it didn't really go to plan? And he was like, it's a grotto.
Yeah, didn't he just have a load of shells and he was... I mean, he could have just been clinically depressed. I don't know what was going on with the man.
doesn't sound healthy.
It was good. No, it was like, it was... You know, there was not a lot to do in Ireland in the 80s. And so, you know, like he had a grotto.
Stick shells in your garden and call it a grotto.
Yeah.
Yeah, he sort of set shells in. But, you know, as kids, when we went to visit on our holidays, we'd love it. Get to explore the grotto. It felt very very magical. You know.
Explore the grotto. Do a quick lap. You're in and out in 8 seconds.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It wasn't a huge. It wasn't a huge garden.
Once you've seen the shells.
Yeah.
Still got the shells.
You've gone to the gift shop,
Uncle Johnny. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think we've explored it now.
Is it still there, the grotto?
Well, no, unfortunately, because both my aunt and uncle have passed. They've sold the house. So I'm assuming the grotto went. And
that could have added tens of thousands onto the asking price.
I believe the house in the end was sold for something like 20 grand. I don't know, in the end there was a real sort of to do over, you know, who was going to get which bit of the money, and then when the money came in they were like, actually it just doesn't really matter.
Well, the grotto knocked 100 grand off the asking price, didn't it? that's how shit that grotto was.
It was a deal breaker for a lot people of people.
Look, the house is amazing, there's 5 bedrooms, double glazing, it's brilliant, but yeah, if you do look outside the back garden, yeah,
we got to level it.
We will be compensating for that. So I'm so sorry. It's the creepy grotto, everyone.
It's something you very rarely see on Selling Sunset. You know, they very rarely do the girls have to explain away a grotto. They're always telling you that Lady Gaga lives just across over there. They're never going, oh yeah, Uncle Johnny used to live here. These stones pressed into concrete, we can lift those right out. Don't you worry, we'll put a pool in.
We've had the survey back and no damp. Pipes are in great. No, unfortunately, we did find a grotto. So you may want to push back on the ask for that.
There's no way we can insure a property with a grotto.
Yeah, all the curtains. Weird that all the curtains drawn on the back of the house when we went to see it. And yeah, I mean, that was odd, actually. They made a really panicky noise when we said, can we see the garden? But, you know, we put an offer in because it's our idea.
What's under this tarpaulin out the back? Oh, yeah, a load of corpses. Don't worry about it. It's fine. So yeah, it's a very good. How do we get onto that? But yeah, it's a very. It's a good point. Why? What is it about the back of the garden that is causing such a problem? What is it about moving the rotary?
It was a good point. Why isn't this cunt making his fucking rotary line a fucking tree? Do you know what I mean? Like, what the fuck's his problem?
This is it.
Do you know what I mean?
It's 2022.
Make you do it. I think let her express herself across her miscellaneous garden equipment.
It sounds like
she's very creative, you know.
Well, it also sounds like she's doing the lion's share of the housework, because she's doing the washing up. He's got his knife sharpening and he's got his...
I'm sorry, darling. I can't. I've got a lot of knives to sharpen, I'm afraid.
I've just got, you know, you go to bed, I've got a lot of work to do, just here.
Well, happy anniversary.
Thanks for the new rotary line. I won't be using it.
If you have suggestions on how to solve these small conflicts of mine, I'd be eternally grateful. I think we've sorted you out there, 1, 2, 3. Keep up the excellent work, and hopefully I will convince my partner to come to one of the live shows in the future. Oh, she's not a fan. Cheers, everyone. No, bye,
That wedding, that marriage is doomed. There's no love there, you can tell. Yeah.
That's what we found out. I didn't realise that we should have found out what kind of person she is. She's not a fan of the podcast.
can I just say that I think both James and his wife are great people, and I wish them the best of luck.
Nice.
There you go. That's good. You see, you're learning. Well done. The training's kicking in.
Beef solved.
Brother, sorting out your beef. Beef solved.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
All right, this is TV remote beef. This is from Georgia. Classic. This is via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. You've got to get in touch, guys.
Please get in touch. Ed.
Georgia says, "Dear Pappies and lovely guest, I've been living with a friend for over a year. On the whole, she's an excellent person to live with. Very clean, quiet, and most importantly, works 50 hours a week in a bar, meaning I rarely bump into her around the house.
Right.
A great result for my introverted ass who lived alone for 2 years previously." Okay.
Does she say what the rest of her body is like? Is it just her ass that's introverted?
It's just the introverted ass. It's
her Achilles heel.
I saw that on Embarrassing Bodies, actually. Someone had introverted ass.
It's the kind of black hole situation, just sucking everything in.
If you press your belly button enough, it will pop out. Yeah. Pop out the other way. It's like those sneakers you used to be able to pump up from the tongue. Just keep pressing your belly. Your introverted ass will pop straight out.
You'll get there. She goes on to say, "My beef is that in our shared living room, she seems to insist on leaving the TV remote on the TV stand rather than somewhere within reach, such as the coffee table or the sofa. Every time I go in there, I will sit on the sofa only to remember that the TV remote is out of reach. And then I have to stand up," in block capitals, "walk over to then sit back down. Allow me to interject before your first solution. I can't talk to her about this."
Oh, wasn't going to be my first solution, but
I cannot talk to her about this.
Okay.
As previously stated, I hardly ever see her. As I write this, it's been 10 days since I last saw her, and that's nothing. I once managed to avoid her for over 2 months. When I do see her, we have long, important catch-ups. Have you quit your job yet? I dumped the man I was dating. I saw the creepy neighbour, etc., etc. I cannot simply slide a "what is it with you and the bloody TV remote" into that conversation. Cheers, bye, Georgia.
Georgia, well, Georgia, Georgia.
Well, she's on my mind.
Absolutely. She's leaving on a midnight train.
To get the TV.
Right, well, there's two solutions, and I feel like I've really got to train myself not to say the first one.
Don't interject with any solutions here.
No,
I'm feeling the same way.
And I, you know, like having been given the written warning from James early doors, I can't just say, "Come on, mate, think of your Fitbit and have a couple more steps." That was Matthew 1.0. That was Beta Matthew. Yeah, this is Matthew 2.0.
Yeah.
How about getting yourself a fun, like, poking stick to turn the telly on?
Oh.
like a long, fun poking stick.
I didn't think that was
going to
go there.
Like a long, fun poking stick, you know? If
no,
it's, you know,
the modern day tellies wouldn't respond to a poking stick.
I'm looking at my TV right now. I don't see a button on it.
Yeah, it's a good point, actually. All right, well, what about a Come long on, poking granddad. Stick with a little downwards pointing finger on it that you can press the buttons on the remote from the sofa?
Old National Lottery advert.
Absolutely, yeah. It could be you type finger. That's exactly it. And it presses the buttons. Possibly what you'll want to do, actually, is you'll want to equip it with a small camera in the finger. Yeah, nice. So you can see the buttons you're pressing.
You get right. A live feed to your phone.
Are we talking about a drone, yeah. Maybe?
Possibly a drone. All I mean, any time I can suggest someone buys a drone, always a good solution. But yeah, possibly get yourself a little drone.
We should say we are hashtag ad. We are sponsored by drones.
Sponsored by Dyson's
we
drones.
We want more drones in the sky. I want to fill this sky with drones.
As long as it's the indoor sky. You know, fill this living room with drones. But something that makes the activity of either retrieving the remote or pressing the remote from a distance a little bit of fun.
And then it's a fun little story you can share with your housemate. But I've made this, and it's because of something that you've done that really pisses me off. But isn't it funny?
It's passive-aggressive craft is what it is.
Yeah. I had a similar answer, but it was a bit more sly, which is we're coming into Christmas. So what you should do is pretend that a family member has bought you a remote control, either Nest or little cushion.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Sorry, I thought the Nest was remote controlled. Is that, you know, no, when you have to get up and press the Nest? Isn't that so annoying?
Yeah. It's not a remote control Nest. It's a Nest for the remote control.
Of course.
So it'd be like a little novelty deck chair or a...
Oh, that's
little,
fun.
Like, you know, like a... And you'd go, oh, my God, my uncle bought me this.
Yeah, a little saucy. But she's in a bathing costume from the 50s. And she's holding a big remote. So, I don't remember it being this big. Along those lines,
and it's like
it's bawdy. It's good, clean fun.
It's got the sort of seaside postcard humour. Lovely.
Yes. Yeah.
Find my button. And you'd kind of like put it there, and it's like, look, oh, we've got a place for the remote control here, and it's like, there it is, there's the remote control Nest, and it's like, oh, what a weird gift, let's give it a go. And then it's in the house, you've relocated where the remote control lives, but you've done it in a real kind of inconsequential
way. That is excellent. I think that's textbook.
I think bringing back the uncle as well is a good thing to say, look, you know what it's like. If we don't use it and he comes around the house, then it's just going to be, he's just going to throw himself into his grotto in a big way.
Yeah, exactly.
My auntie won't
see him.
You know, like, exactly.
Time.
Like, yeah. his grotto, because now all he can do is build up. And so he's, you know, like, he's basically building a big shard like structure. He's
the
to
local
stick shells
beach
on.
Is completely bare of shells.
Exactly. He's basically causing tide erosion now at this stage. Yeah. That's what's happening. I feel like that's it. Blame it on the uncle, but come up with a little nest.
A thing.
That is excellent, you know.
Where do you stand on this, Ed?
So I have all right, so I'm looking at my TV right now. Mm-hmm. And
can you focus on the podcast, please, mate?
So just go.
France, Australia's
middle
on
of the World Cup. That's it. This will happen if you try to record a podcast. Four matches a day. Come on.
Yes, he had a grotto. Sorry, yes, I am listening. Yes, I'm a big fan of grottos. That's all.
I've got like a little IKEA kind of cabinet, one of those. You know, those sort of like old school style metal. Things. Yeah. So I got a telly on top of that, and there's just a neat little convenient spot where I can just whack the remote in front of that. Oh, actually, I tell a lie, but then because you've got the doors, I whack the remote inside that.
Right.
It's gone. It's out of sight, out of mind.
So your remote control is going back at the telly every time.
It's living in its little prison. Yeah.
And that's how I feel the same way. I think if I had to pick a side here, I'm with the housemate, because I think you know where the TV remote is. This whole thing of why don't you leave it on the coffee table or on the sofa, it's like, that's in the wild, it's floating, it's going missing, where is it?
Yeah.
At least you always know where it is. It's at the telly. You
it's come the North
in, you
Star,
go to the telly,
yeah.
You get back, exactly right. It's gone home, it's gone to where it should be.
You're never going to accidentally stick a Grazia over the top of it or whatever and end up not being able to find it. If you just have that place, yeah. I mean, in our situation, it's got to be, it's next to the telly, but it's on a high shelf next to the telly, so the kids can't get to it.
Very
basically.
Cool.
That's
because they, you don't want them to watch Australia, France.
You will watch Poland, Mexico and nothing else.
So, but yeah, I think that's it. You know, I'm looking at the TV in this room now, and there it is. We've got the two remotes next to the telly. out of reach, but crucially because within reach of me.
Having to go to the telly to get the remote control isn't as frustrating as not knowing where the remote control is.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Once you're into a lifting cushions off the sofa situation, you'll be missing the glory days of having the remote control back where it's always
is. I've just thought of a compromise, though.
Is it a drone?
It's not a drone. It's less technologically advanced than a drone. But you remember, like, when you used to go to the bank and they would have a pen on a chain. How about you put a chain on the remote, attach it to the coffee table, so it's got a maximum radius, right? You can only really use it from the seat next to the coffee table, but at least you always know it's there. And then
you could put the little like vacuum cleaner retractable button in there somewhere. So when you're done, smack it back in again
on a little stretchy bit of string. Yeah.
Aren't we going back though? Weren't the original remote controls on a wire that went to the telly? Aren't we going backwards from where we are now, which is remote control?
Just listen to the radio. You've got to listen to more radio.
Read a book. Just read a book. Let's face it, technology's
easy,
not for you.
Easy, Crosby, easy. Don't start getting aggressive towards
Don't
them.
Aggressively tell people to read books. That's what I... But yeah, no, I, okay, yeah, it's not as good as your bit of advice there, Tom, which is blame the uncle and buy a little deck chair.
Yeah, novelty body deck chair. Yeah.
Novelty body deck chair. Beef sold.
As soon as this podcast finishes, I'm off to see if they exist, and if not, I'm patenting a remote control deck chair.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
Okay, so our free range beef.
I'd say this steak is very tender, sir. That, sir, is because it's free range beef.
Bow down.
Bow down.
Comes from Steve, and it's free range canteen beef. Steve writes, "Hello."
Yes? We should just tell Ed quickly. A free range beef means it's out the house. It can be in the anywhere.
It's
in the
wild.
Okay. Yeah.
It's out there in the wild.
Yeah.
And this is set in a canteen. Hello, Pappies. I have a bit of beef going with the guy who runs the canteen at work.
Oof.
I've recently started working in a high school, and one of the great perks is that we get a full cooked lunch every day. Oh, my goodness. You know what? I envy that. I love a school dinners. The food is great quality, and after spending the last few years at home daily preparing lunch and dinner for everyone, it's lovely having someone else do it for a change. I just turn up and chow down. But there is one guy there, the boss, I think, who seems to have it in for me. I've struck up a good rapport with most of the staff, but he always has quite a severe look about him and rarely speaks or smiles. A few weeks ago, the pudding was individual banoffee pies. When I asked him if there was... I mean, delicious, right?
Yeah.
School dinner banoffee pie. When I asked him if there was anything without banana in it, he scowled at me and pointed to a bowl of lettuce before looking away and serving someone else. I think that's... Let's keep going. Then last week, he took it too far. Beef and onion pie was on the menu. He was at the veg station. A dinner lady was dishing up the pie and passing the plate to him to put the veg on. He was serving the girl in front of me in the queue while the nice lady, with a huge smile, dished me out a lovely extra big portion of pie. As she passed it to this guy to add the veg, he was handing over a much smaller portion to the girl in front. She shook her head and said, "I wanted the vegetarian." And with his trademark grimace, he just handed the plate to me. Instead, proceeded to dish up something for the vegetarian girl, so he got the smaller pie, right.
Hey, okay.
I didn't move for a moment, looking from my plate to the plate on the counter that had been intended for me. But a sideways look from him indicated that I was holding up the line, and I trudged off to eat my small pie. Maybe I should have spoken up. Maybe I should have a word with him. But he is preparing my food at the end of the day. I don't want him to do anything truly horrible to it. Cheers, everyone. Pie, Steve.
Pie. Right. I really hope he was saying that, like, as he sat down, he's really carving it.
I should have said something. Next time, you just got to say something.
Come on, Steve.
Come on, mate. You're better than this.
Right. Okay. Now.
Right.
Now, again... pushing me to breaking point this.
I mean it would be a hell of a thing if the guy had planned that little situation. Like, if he'd gone, this'll fuck this guy off.
But I'll get a vegetarian to be in front of him in the queue.
He's coming.
I'm going to do my best, right?
Truman Show syndrome.
He's got like crisis actors there. Like I think I'm going to do my best and talk directly to Steve, right? Steve, looking through your message, right? There are lots of things you say here where he didn't say anything. Or he did this with a grimace. Or he looked like he was annoyed. Or his look suggested that I was holding up the queue.
Yeah, yeah,
Steve, I have a feeling here, and I think, you know, obviously, you're a lovely guy. You've got a beautiful turn of phrase. I loved your message. Well done. But I think you need to back yourself. Be a little bit more confident. Don't worry too much about what other people are thinking of you. I feel like a lot of this might be going on up in your old head here, or your young head. I don't know how old you are. You're old enough to work in a high school and not be in the high school. So let's say you're in your medium aged head. I think some of the, you know, I know what it's like. If you feel like someone's got it in for you, then everything they do becomes a thorn in your side and a dagger through your heart. But I feel like a lot of these things are fine. You know, they're just, you know, it just so happened that there wasn't an extra dessert that didn't have banana in. You know, have a Yorkie on the way home.
Let's be honest. He was funny there.
He did actually make
this guy's got a deadpan face. You know, maybe he's.
That's his. Just, that's maybe his level of bounce, isn't it?
You know, I'm picturing a big,
billowy chef's hat. Yep. He's got a rolling pin in his hand. And he's not happy. He is not happy that people are asking him.
Yeah,
I think he's like a Walter Matthau type. You know, like hang dog expression, yeah. Kind of like this movie star kind of grouch. But I think the big thing here is what we need to find out is he like what I thought that story was going to be was. The vegetarian in front of me, he told a joke to, he had a smile with her, he gave her a bit of extra and said, have a nice weekend. And then I arrived and he did nothing. Like, at the moment, all we know is this is a grouchy man. What we don't know is he's only grouchy with you. So can we get, you need to send through a few sample people or you need to talk to some colleagues and find out what their experience of this guy is because it feels like that's just him, man. It doesn't feel like he's doing it just for you. But then how can we test that? You know, can we get a few people in? Get somebody else in to do the banana line.
See how that plays.
I've got sweet FA going on in my life. So I will come to this school.
Yeah.
I will, you know, don my best. I could be
you're
a cool,
very
relevant
good performer.
16-year-old. I could wear a
interesting. I could see. I'd put you in there as a sixth former, kind of like
a bad boy who's transferred from another school. He's kind of cool and mysterious, but he doesn't like banana, and that's his kind of edge. That's his street edge, I guess. But put me through the system, man. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
He's been held back a couple of years. He doesn't like banana. He does like ecstasy. he's the cool guy. And then we'll see how you fare. You film it. We'll put some kind of hidden camera on you. Crosby will fit you with some kind of drone following you. We'll get the evidence that we can then show
him. There he goes.
I'll put you on
a
big chain.
The least suspicious kid in school.
Put you on a big chain that's attached to the desk.
What's your character in this? Because Ed's going to be a sixth former and you're going in as a middle-aged man who keeps him on a chain.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, basically the chain, actually it won't be a chain. It will be a retractable thing, but as soon as things get too dicey and we need to drag him out of the situation, we'll press the button and they'll be yanked back into a van and driven off down the street.
Beautiful.
If our cover gets blown, that's what will happen. With the press of a button, Ed will be yanked to safety.
I like it.
But yeah, I think, Tom, you're, you know, once again, I think you're right. I feel like this is a clash of personalities, but it crucially doesn't, from this reading, sound like he's got it in for you, Steve. It seems like he might be a little bit miserable at work. He might even just be like, he might just enjoy being grouchy.
Yeah.
Plenty of people out there like that.
But I guess this is the season, right? If you're ever going to, this feels like it's kind of got rom-com written all over it. If there was ever a time to reach out and sort of bridge the divide.
Yeah.
Now's the time to do it. Share a, you know, sit down over a small pie and just have it out.
Yeah. Or what about giving him a present?
Yes.
What about going? Because as well, there's a teaching adage because I was a teacher for a few years and there was an adage they said don't smile until after Christmas. That was a way of kind of instilling authority in the classroom. Don't show, like, you know, don't smile at the classes until after Christmas. You have a term of seeming like you're really hard, and then when you are nice to them, they're like, oh, he's actually all right. But yeah, you've already instilled.
Don't cry until Easter, and after that, you just nonstop.
Don't
it really
shit
freaks
yourself.
Them out.
Don't shit yourself till the summer term, and then let the floodgates open, my man.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there was no don't have a kid ram a desk into your balls very, very early on during the first half term. And
Nothing makes you smile like that, does it, Chris?
Oh my gosh. I did.
Don't smile.
I smiled like they would in an 80s movie when someone gets kicked in the nuts. I smiled, I went cross-eyed, I fell backwards. But I think that maybe that's what this guy's doing. You know, we're not yet at the turn of the first term. You've only just started the job there. Maybe that's what he's doing. Maybe he's teaching you a lesson so that when he, you know what, on the day when he's serving out the veg and he gives you, you know, an extra scoop of carrots and peas, you'll be like, you know what, mate, I had you all wrong. And he's like, you know, and points to the lettuce again, because that's his.
Yeah, that's his trademark.
Yeah, that's his leitmotif.
I mean, he hasn't said that, but that was the lettuce that they were filming to outlast Liz Truss's premiership.
Yeah, he's just he was really into that.
He was, you know, it was satire, really. He was kind of like he was
just
doing that to everyone
pointing
going
to
past
a DVD
it.
Box set of Have I Got News for You.
Is it Paul Merton? I mean, he's quite famously quite grouchy. Right. I mean, yeah. I think Steve just. I tell you what, I think
is our answer to that beef higher ed as an undercover actor, because that's my favourite one.
The rates are good. The rates are reasonable.
Listen, certainly.
What
you
are
know,
you charging Ed to be undercover for the day?
So you get the free lunch, days. Right?
Oh yeah, you're getting the free lunch.
I'll draw the line there.
Great.
Okay, so Ed will do it for the free lunch. You bring Ed in and see how this grouchy motherfucker treats this young
responds.
Upstart.
It will lead into a 17 again situation. I'm going to end up making it onto the basketball team and just reliving all my dreams. But I'm sorry,
Ed,
I was meant to be helping
you out. We've got to pull you out. You're like, but I'm the lead in the school play. And Jenny's going to ask me to the prom. Ed, you're in too deep.
Never.
Well, I think we solved another beef. Beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
Ed, now, you teased this at the start of the episode, but what is the beef with the fish and chip shop below your dwelling?
So as you know, as your instincts so rightly gauged you, it's to do with the smell. It's to do with the kind of odor batter that we're dealing with. So it's... maybe like once a month, I want to say one day a month, the waft will start to come through the floorboards. And you know, that's fine when you're out and about, but when, like during lockdown and stuff, every single breath that you take is like mostly nuggets. You're like, this isn't how I want my life to be, mate. But I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go sort this out. I'm going to, you know, much like the last guy, I'm going to go have a word with the chef. There's probably no issue. I'm just going to sort this out. There's probably been a misunderstanding. So I kind of psych myself up outside the chip shop, go in, say, hi, sorry, mate, is your extract fan working? And he said, yep, all fine. I was like, yeah, nice, cool. So I bought two kebabs, went back to my house.
Added to the problem.
it smells worse. But then I was a little weasel of a boy, and I messaged my landlord, because they own like the flat and the chip shop. They're the all-seeing eye in this situation.
Oh, right.
And I essentially... Sorry, everybody. I kind of dobbed them in, and I was like, "Oh, please! Oh, my flat smells of chips. Oh, please, can you make it stop smelling of chips, please?" And then my landlord got in touch with them, and they had to like install a new fancy system.
Oh,
and then
no.
And I was like, okay, well, it's just done. It's done. You did what you had to do. You're a little weasel for a day, but your life is inordinately better. That's fine.
Yeah.
But then a couple of weeks later, I get a knock on the door, and it's the main like kebab man. And he was like, next time you be a man, you be a man and you come to me.
No,
you don't go to them behind my back. You come to me. And obviously, so I bought another two kebabs. I'll have 10. I'll have 10,
Did he have them ready for you? £6.50, come on.
Straight into the face. I was like, how much? Have you got change for a 20, mate? Just keep it. Keep it, it's fine. So now there's like a kind of long-running standoff where every time I pass, there's a big window that I have to walk past to get into my flat. And there's always a kind of like... He's kind of like a Pacino-esque guy just standing in the window, just staring me out. And yeah, I'm just wondering, like, do I go back and be like, you know what, mate? What's done is done. Let's let bygones be bygones. But it's sensitive. It's sensitive. And essentially, I kind of run into my flat every week.
Have you bought a kebab from him since?
Last time, I've sent guests to my flat to be like, you should try the chips downstairs. They're great. So I've kind of indirectly given them business, but I'm too scared to go in there myself.
But you haven't said, and say Ed sent you. You've not gone.
No. I don't think they know my name is a thing. So they would just...
Right. Like, well,
you know what? We really like this guy, Ed, but that guy upstairs, ass.
Right. Well, I've got quite a...
problem with
I've
you.
I've got quite a bold solution. Mm. And but I think it will eventually work.
Nice.
Is that you have to turn your flat into a rival, better fish and chip shop.
I
think that's what has to happen. It's already, yeah, exactly. It's already smelling like a fish and chip shop. Cut out the middleman and make it smell of your fish and chip shop and undercut them.
Yes.
Because also, you don't have to worry about the ventilation. There's no one above you, right? Is there anyone above you?
There's a flat above us, yeah.
Okay, right. Well, now we're in trouble. Yeah.
But if they also set up,
then a little bit of healthy competition.
Yeah, we're offering a kind of, we'll have a little fun bougie twist on it.
No one's gonna do the authentic stuff. No one's going to be interested in the middle kebab shop in that situation. Like, no, you're going to be pissed. You're going into the ground floor, or you're at the garden. You know,
me with a visor on, crunching the numbers. Yeah. They're just not coming. This business had it all.
I see him walk past my front door to get to the other one.
They got the views up there. I think there's got to be some kind of showdown now, right?
Do you think?
But in like a healthy way, like, and look, I know this has been my go-to for most of these beefs, but 'tis the season.
I think what you got to do is
you got to pick your right bottle. Our friend, do you know Camille from the Birthday Girls?
No, she's, I don't.
She's a friend of the show. Her father is he owns a kebab van.
He's
a Turkish, very proud Turkish man, and he is also a judo black belt, and he trains. And so I'm really picturing this man as like your kind of guy.
I'm picturing this kind of
very macho, very alpha.
Yeah, kind always of, in judo costumes.
Full judo.
which is mad, because that really retains the grease, honestly.
Yeah.
He can never get that clean.
You should see him chop that meat, though, off the... It's really impressive.
Oh, my word. Didn't stand a chance.
What I'm saying is, like, I'm thinking, like, some kind of... Like, a bottle of ouzo or something like that. Like, some kind of clear liquor. You know, like, you go
yeah,
in...
Yeah, yeah. Nice and cloudy.
Like, yeah.
You're talking, like, 25 quid, kind of... This is the big stuff. Or, like, a good vodka.
Yeah. I would say, check where he's from before you buy him a Greek beverage. I would just say, really,
I
would say, like the most famous Greek drink. Just check he's not a Turkish bloke or a Cypriot, you know. Like, make sure you...
Not like a limoncello. Go in and put it down.
From my culture to yours. Please accept this.
Please accept this WKD.
Please accept this baby sham and have a delightful Christmas. Check me out on TikTok. Go in and like put it down and be like, look, happy Christmas, happy new year, you know, bygones, shake his hand,
yeah,
order a kebab.
and then out you go.
Yeah.
I think like something like that where it's like, I don't,
it's a gesture, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just a gesture and it's Christmas and it's like, stick a little, one of those sticky bows on it so that it's not like, oh, I'm giving you this to make up. It's like, it's Christmas.
Yeah.
Here's a drink.
Yeah.
And the way I envisage it,
yeah,
it's like, yeah, you go to walk out the shop and he goes like, my friend, you turn around and he's already put two glasses down and he pours you a shot. He pours himself a shot. You walk back in, you clink glasses.
Hot oil in the face.
The oldest trick in the book. Prison style. Yeah. Boiling water and sugar. and then like, you know, it's kind of like there's that respect, mutual respect. You could leave with your head held high and it feels like that's the kind of gesture this man would respond to. That's how I see it.
Can I ask how long ago, sorry, Ed, how long ago was the Be A Man chat? How
so long that ago was, did it happen? That was maybe, I want to say, September 2021. So we're looking at about 15, yeah. months.
You've had a little while to become a man. And
why don't you pretend that you've just turned 18?
Yeah. I've put my same high school outfit on again.
Could you grow a moustache in time for Christmas? Is it too late to do Movember right at the end of the month? Be a man, and then and you've not been in the shop since.
Yes, which is what a man would do, is run away from the situation.
Yeah, it's hard now to be a man. Well, maybe this man needs to learn that sometimes being a man means showing you're vulnerable.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Yeah. Then walk out the shop, slowly disappear. Roll credits.
Slightly up into the sky. leaving behind a vacuum cleaner.
Big vacuum cord caught on a door.
But my vacuum's wireless. Oh. Sharked himself up into the sky. I want to see that. I want to see that moment.
I'd like to see that moment.
Get hammered. And get in there and order a big kebab.
Yeah, maybe that's the angle. Yeah, yeah.
Let the drunk talk do the work.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, basically I think whatever idea we've come up with, it's got to be, you've got to go back into that shop and speak to him again.
You've got to go back in the shop, so. Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether you do it with the intention of getting him drunk or whether you do it when you're drunk, I think your first instinct was right, Tom. Wrap a bottle up. And then, of course, inside, as he unwraps the bottle, just inside, a little flyer saying, opening January 2023, upstairs fish and chip shop.
20% off coupon.
Fish and chips done right.
For manly portions.
Beef solved.
Cheers, Ed. Thanks for helping us get through all of those things. That was
a pleasure.
Amazing.
Thanks so much for having me.
How do you feel we did, though? Like, I mean, as an outside observer, how do you feel, specifically, how did I do on not rinsing all of the guests? Did I see more? If you'd written in to the podcast, would you have felt happy to listen again?
I think you're right. The hand of reason. There was nothing too,
great.
Nothing too outrageous about it. I think you judged it just right.
Thank you. That's exactly what I needed to hear.
Well, the same right back at you, Ed. Thank you for not Janine Harooning it.
Next time.
Is there anything you want to plug while you're on the show?
We're doing the Crybaby Boys. We're doing our Edinburgh show, which Tom, you came to see. You came to see on like the third day when there were about 12 people in the audience and nobody laughed. And there was a point where you laughed at a joke and the two people in front of you like turned round being like, excuse me, I'm trying to watch this show.
I was laughing so hard and I was like the only person laughing and it was really making me laugh even more, but it was such a funny show.
It was fucking so sad. Hell. But yeah, we're doing Bagbeard at Soho from the 16th to the 21st of January. And that'd be good fun.
I cannot recommend that show enough. It could not be more up my alley. So if you like really smart, silly comedy, go and see it.
I mean, if you're a sketchhead, I mean, this is, we were looking up at the Pappy's boys being like, yeah, We gotta get up there. We gotta put a plastic bag on someone's face and try and make a show.
Yeah, this. It's Bag Beard is the name of the show, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And it's three of you, and one of you is just you. How did you decide who wasn't going to be in the publicity? Basically, how did you decide who wasn't going to get to stand next to their poster in Edinburgh? And
Exactly. It's all written into contracts. So it's featuring James Galt with Michael Clarke and Ed Jones. That's the
right.
That's
okay.
The,
yeah, yeah.
that's what we're going for. But we did a show years ago. Where we were playing like goblins that made dreams, and it wasn't a rip roaring success at the time. but one of the little sort of nuggets that came out from it was James put a plastic bag on his face and was like, "Bagbeard, what do we think?" And then we didn't have another good idea for another 8 years. I guess we'll just do that.
Oh, guys, yeah. Well, look, it's June. Edinburgh is 2 months away. We're doing Bagbeard.
Plenty of time.
Bagbeard.
We've got a
Bagbeard.
It's the deadline for the brochure. We've got to send something in. Bagbeard. Let's just send in Bagbeard and see what we come
That'll
up with.
That'll be fun. No one's going to come anyway.
Yeah. Parry might show up. But brilliant. Yeah, so that's Bagbeard at Soho Theatre from the 19th to the... Sorry, the 16th, 16th
to the 21st of January. Yeah,
Soho Theatre.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah, do go and see Crybabies. And check Ed out on social media. Really funny videos. I think your videos are absolutely brilliant. They're really, really great.
I just always love the little response from occasionally you'll just get the real hardcore indie boys will leave a comment being like, "Indie music was nothing like this. It was like this." I'm sorry, boys.
It's just a joke, guys. Come on, chill out.
Sorry, lad.
They're, like people who are still fighting the Vietnamese War, they are still fighting the Britpop wars. They're still, they've never quite got over Blur versus Oasis, the Rock and Country House, and they're just, it's absolutely deathly serious to these guys. And they are all guys.
100%. Yeah,
100%. Ed, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure having you on.
Thank you so much, my dudes.
From the sorting out your beef.
There we go. What a treat that was. Beefs were solved.
So many beefs were solved.
Desperate to know what goes on with Ed and the kebab shop man, the chip shop man. Really, really want to know.
We got to find out.
Fascinating stuff.
Is he going to man up in 2023? Is he going to be a man? We'll find out. We'll have to find out. We'll have to get Ed. Have to get Ed back with a report back on how that goes. I mean, there's every chance you walk past a kebab shop and you see a sketch performer going around on a skewer with someone slicing bits off him. Yeah. Oh, poor love. Anyway, have a wonderful time, everybody. We are back next week with a festive. You know what? We're going into December now, so the next three episodes are all going to be festive specials.
Amazing. Here we go.
We've got a festive house meeting, which is going to be a lot of fun. We've got a festive Beef Brothers Cold Cuts, which we're recording live with James Acaster. Don't forget, if you have a Christmas beef, a beef with someone you live with or someone you spend Christmas with that is festive-related, Christmas-related, send it in, beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Please do send it in. And the three of us and James will be solving that. And then we've got the festive Flatshare Slamdown to take us to the end of the year. So a month you've got ahead of you guys.
Exactly. And I can't stress enough, if you want to feel even more Christmassy, my Christmas film is going to be on Prime Video on 2nd of December.
Yes.
It's called Your Christmas or Mine with Asa Butterfield in it. So please do watch. It'll be on Prime Video on the 2nd of December.
You know what? What a fantastic double bill that would be. Get yourself some Avocar, watch Tom's film in the afternoon, time it so it stops at about 5:30, then join us for a Beef Brothers Cold Cuts and a Flatshare Slamdown. A perfect Amazing. Sunday. File that under perfect Sunday.
Finish it off by watching the film again.
Finish it off by watching the film a second time, because it's got layers, man. With a parry script, it's not just, it's not all surface, no feeling.
You have to watch it twice to understand it. Yeah. But
it's confusing and badly made way. It's the gift that keeps on giving. It's constantly rewarding you. And interestingly enough, and Tom doesn't like to say this, but every line was improvised by the actors.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's why it won't get nominated for an Oscar for best screenplay.
Because you forgot to, on the first day they said, well, we can't wait to shoot this film, Tom. Where's this screenplay you've been talking about? And you were like,
that's not how I work, guys. That's not my process.
That's not my process at all. But yeah, I'm so excited to see it. Really, really exciting.
All the cast are wearing earpieces and I'm improvising into their ears.
A lot of people are taking their tops off, I can tell you that now. Why is everyone wearing shorts? It's Christmas, for fuck's sake.
It's more like an episode of Nightmare. Left step, right, walk through the door, say Merry Christmas, okay!
Oh, if that's not a tantalising taste of the dialogue, somebody walks through a door and says Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, okay.
I don't know what it is. Merry Christmas, okay? Great closing line. Spoiler alert, that's how it ends. Merry Christmas, okay? Someone gives you a thumbs up.
Walk through the door.
Tom walks on and goes, and cut. Not supposed to do that. It's not really his role, but he does it. But yeah, and we'll stick notes. We'll stick all of that in the show notes. We'll stick the Patreon, a link to how to get tickets for this, a link to how to get tickets to see Crybabies in the Soho Theatre, and of course, all the details of Tom's film. Brilliant. Okay, have a wonderful week, everybody. See you next week.
Today's episode was produced by Emma Corsham.
Corsham team.
Cheers, everyone. Bye.
Coming soon to a Patreon Neighborhood Watch roll call near you. Please be upstanding for the event of the year. She walks down the stairs, pops up on the table. And then suddenly, her hair starts to glow. There's no one else in the room, though, to see it. It's the tragedy of Caroline Purslow.
Coming soon to a Patreon near you.
Yes.
She goes through a door. She says, Merry Christmas. Okay. It's a heartwarming tale for the whole family. It is, of course, Emily.
Coming soon. She walks through a door, but it's the wrong door. She walks back through the other door and she's completely lost. Oh, bummer. She tries to think of another plan, but she's too tired. It's not a good film.
I feel like quite a lot of your own situation now is coming through in the Patreon roll call. I'm trying to improvise, but I'm too tired.
Louise Summers.
Sorry, Louise. I'll let you get that. Let you get a shot of that again.
Oh, Louise Summers.
Oh, dear. Coming soon to a Patreon near you. She goes through a grotto. She meets Father Christmas. She says, compliments of the season to you. And he says, get out of here. It's Boxing Day now. That's the tragedy of Stephanie. How?
Coming soon to a Patreon near you. She goes through a door. She walks into a grotto. Santa Claus says, Get out of here.
Kid.
I've checked the list. You've not been nice. You've been naughty. She feels upset. So she calls her friend. And her friend's name is Liam Doherty.
Merry Christmas, okay?
Merry Christmas, okay? That concludes today's Patreon Neighborhood Watch roll call.
Okay.
Yep, happy with that.
Hi,
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.